This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega.
The president's fiscal year 2020 budget would reduce overall funding for department programs by $7.1 billion, which is a 10% decrease from 2019's appropriated level.
Education Secretary Betsy DeVos came under fire this week for the Trump administration's proposal to cut $17.6 million in federal funding for the Special Olympics. While the Trump administration's proposed cuts are unlikely to go into effect, many educators and parents say that federal special education funding across the board is just too low.
Sharon from Somerville, South Carolina, not enough resources for special ed, especially in our district. The teachers are listed as case managers. They spend most of their time testing students, not teaching students. We end up having to do IEP meetings. We have to set them up ourselves. We have to make all the arrangements ourselves. We have no support. They got into it to teach children, not to be caseworkers.
Doug from Portland, Oregon. I don't think there's enough resources for special ed teachers or any teachers unless they work in private schools or wealthy neighborhoods.
In a hearing on Tuesday, Wisconsin Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan pressed DeVos for specifics on the proposed cuts.
I have two nephews with autism. What is it that we have a problem with children who are in special education? Why are we cutting all of these programs over and over within this budget?
Well, sir, we have continued to retain the funding levels for IDEA and held that level. So in the context
I don't think I brought up IDEA. I believe I brought up Special Olympics, Special Education Grants to States, the National Technical Institute for the Blind, Gallaudet University, Federal Program for Printing Books. So if you could address those, that's the question I would really appreciate.
I will address the broader question around
Or if you could actually address the question I asked. That's even a better way to answer a question.
Supporting students with special needs, we have continued to hold that funding level at a level amount.
According to the National Center for Education Statistics, 13% of public school students in the United States use special education services. For more, let's go to Emmanuel Felton, reporter for the Hechinger Report. Emmanuel, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
So let's clarify, since what we're talking about here is a proposed budget cut, has funding for special education changed under DeVos in the Trump administration?
It hasn't. And it's, I think you see why in this week's congressional hearings, right? Like, this is a very difficult area to touch politically. So while the administration has consistently asked for about a 10% cut to the Education Department budget overall, they've consistently requested about $13 billion for special education. Though I would add, with the special education population growing, the amount spent per student has been on a decline.
So generally, what do we mean when we're talking about special education? What role does the federal government play in making sure that special needs students get their needs met?
So the really important law here is the 1975 Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. Before that, some states even explicitly excluded students with severe developmental or physical disabilities or even like mental health needs from enrolling in school at all. So, I mean, IDEA, the 1975 law, put an end to that. And it also set up this federal funding stream to pay for what the law calls the excess cost of educating these students compared to their peers without special needs.
Let's talk a little bit. You mentioned that there are more students that need special education today. Do we know what the demographics are there of who we're talking about and why there are more, increasingly more students who have these needs?
The question becomes then, like, how are we identifying these students, right? And that's been a battle. You know, there are some people who feel that Black and Latino students are over-identified or overrepresented in special education and don't actually need these services but are funneled in that direction because, you know, then their scores or their graduation rates might not count in the same way for accountability purposes. So there's been this long concern over overrepresentation for Black and brown students. But there's some people who question that theory.
So it's more about a question of how these children are being identified versus actual increase in need?
Exactly.
So what does this budget proposal really tell us? I mean, is the Trump administration in favor of continuing to support special education or not?
So what I will start by saying is, you know, the big news has been about the Special Olympics. And this isn't even the first time that the DeVos administration has zeroed out the budget for the Special Olympics. But what we haven't seen the administration do is cut what the federal government sends to states to help cover the cost of educating these students, right? And like the costs are immense. And so I think we can assume that that area is safe, that the amount that the federal government is sending to states will stay about consistent because it has in the last three budget proposals. But what I think this shows is the willingness of the administration to transfer their responsibilities to the private sector, right? And I think that's a worrying trend for a lot of special education advocates who point out that, like, you know, so when these students, when their students are sent to private schools, are able to get access to these, you know, private settings, they lose many of the rights that were enshrined in that 1975 Individuals with Disabilities Education Act.
When we're talking about the private sector, we know that DeVos has been a big proponent of the charter school industry. Is that what you're referring to?
So charter schools are public schools, so thus have to follow many of the same rules when it comes to IDEA, or all the same rules when it comes to IDEA. But private schools are largely left off the hook there. So they can decide what they will provide to students. And so, you know, there's been a push in many states to get private school vouchers for students with disabilities. And, you know, in a lot of parts of the country, one tactic for parents is to get their school district to pay for private tuition for their students with disabilities.
In addition, we know that a federal court judge decided earlier this week that DeVos's delay of an Obama-era program to look at race in special education was illegal. What can you tell us about that case, Emmanuel?
This gets back to what we talked about the last time I was on this show, right? So the last time I was on, we talked about the DeVos administration's effort to roll back Obama-era discipline initiatives, right? And that was asking school districts to look at their disciplinary data for racial disparities. And like in that rule, which was actually binding, so it required school districts to look into who was being placed into special education. Were Black and brown students being funneled into special education? And then how were they faring once they got into special education? And so, you know, much like with a discipline fight, this is a much broader battle, right? So there are many conservatives who have real qualms with this idea of disparate impact. And that's this legal theory that plaintiffs can make claims, civil rights discrimination claims, based not on showing intentional discrimination by school districts, but showing white racial disparity. So once again, this is a broader civil rights battle.
I'm speaking with Emmanuel Felton, and we're talking about how the proposed federal education budget would impact special education here in the United States. Emmanuel, the takeaway we've been hearing from a lot of parents, family members, teachers who told us that they still think that there is not enough funding for special education. Let's take a listen to what one of our callers had to say.
Hello, this is Deirdre from Glenwood Landing. I'm the parent of a learning disabled teen. I have found that while the school seems to have adequate resources, when you really scratch at the surface, you can see that some teachers apply the resources in a skillful manner and others do not. The greatest fear I have is that my son will not be able to attain a high school degree, which would be devastating to two college-educated parents. I wish some members of the school would understand the urgency that we both feel. And I'm a teacher myself.
Emmanuel, your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, my first thought is, so under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, this really central important law, Congress allowed itself to cover up to 40% of what they call the excess costs, right? The additional cost of educating students with special needs, you know, things like paraprofessionals and special equipment, right? And so they said Congress would cover up to 40%, and we have never come close. And that's really become like one of the central goals for special education advocates. We're at about 14% now, and that's on a decline because with the population growing, you know, the per pupil spending on these kids is declining.
And we should also add a statement from Secretary DeVos that she put out on Wednesday, and she said, quote, "We are focused every day on raising expectations and improving outcomes for infants and toddlers, children and youth with disabilities." Emmanuel, how does that square with the current proposal?
You know, with level funding, we are always going to have this issue, right? Like, and it's an issue that is particularly acute in Black and brown communities, right? So kids attending lower resource school districts, Congress chipping in as much as possible becomes really crucial, right? Like, So, you know, it becomes a question of equity, right? But as you hear, I think even in middle class and higher income communities, there is concern about just how able school districts are to cover these costs.
Manuel Felton is a staff writer at the Hechinger Report and a Spencer Fellow at the Columbia School of Journalism. Thank you, Emmanuel.
Thanks again for having me.